Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles, turn to Gospel of John in chapter 1. The Gospel of John and chapter 1. I want to read just a few verses and then we'll get rolling here this morning. John in chapter 1, verses 6 through probably 13. Maybe just 6 and 7. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Look at verse 15. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. We come as a needy people. We come as a people that without the Redeemer, without the Savior, without the Good Shepherd, we'd be lost in this world. Thank you for coming and dying for sinful man. Lord Jesus, thank you for everyone in the auditorium or listening to the radio or watching the live stream. They've been born into the family of God by way of the blood of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son. Thank you for salvation, being free and of grace and Lord of mercy. And if there's someone here or listening, not born again, may they understand that if they would just receive Jesus as their Savior, if they would take that one act of faith, a heart cry out to God, they could be born into the family of God this very day and have eternal life. God, would you just drive that home in their hearts? And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. I'm going to preach this morning on John the Baptist. You say, what is the purpose of preaching on John the Baptist? Well, I want to give you some information about John the Baptist, but the real purpose is we need some John the Baptists in America today. We need some men and women and young people to stand up on their hind legs and be counted for God. They need to carry the torch and not be ashamed of Jesus. When I think of John the Baptist, man, I think of all of those things. What a man of God. John the Baptist, who Jesus said was the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. He was that last prophet. He's the bridge between the Old Testament prophets and the New Testament and what Jesus was about to do. He was the forerunner of Christ. Take your Bibles and turn to Mark and chapter 1. Gospel of Mark and chapter 1. I want to read some of this, and then I want to go to the Gospel of Matthew and read just a little bit there as well in verses 1 through 7. There are six passages concerning John the Baptist in our New Testament. And I've read them and reread them and studied them all week long. I'm so full of John the Baptist, I think I could preach an hour and a half on John the Baptist here this morning. But take heart, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to skip a bunch. I'm going to try to be concise. It says here in Mark in chapter 1, In the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his paths straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And that Greek word, just so you know that, and I'm a King James guy, but that word for, that is because of the remission of sins. He wasn't teaching, and John did not preach baptismal regeneration. It says, for there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized in him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of a skin about his loins. And he did eat locusts and wild honey. John the Baptist was a man's man. We need some of that today. John the Baptist was a country boy. John the Baptist stood up and heralded the very word of God. He was fulfilling Old Testament prophecies. He was preparing the hearts of Jerusalem, the hearts of Israel, for the coming Messiah. It was prophesied that he would come and preach, saying, "There cometh one mightier than I, one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." Look over at another passage, Matthew and chapter 3. And then I'm going to try to get airborne here. Matthew and chapter 3, verse 1. "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, 'Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.' And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. And then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, 'O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?'" He called out the false teachers. He was an old time preacher. He was rough as a corn cob. And then he says, "Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, 'We have Abraham to our father,' for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." And he goes on, he says just a little bit more, but he's saying, listen, you need to get humble, you need to get low. He's talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious leaders of the day. He's saying, religion is not the answer for Judea. It is not the answer for Israel. Religion is not the answer for the United States of America. The next election, as important as it is not going to fix America, no matter who wins. And by the way, I think last night was divine intervention. I'll just kind of leave it at that. No matter who wins, and God, it's really in the hand of God, we just do our part. But politics will never fix America. You can change the administration, but America needs an old-fashioned Holy Spirit revival. America needs to come back to the very word of God. That's kind of what John the Baptist was doing. He was preparing the way for the Lord. He was making the paths straight. He was calling the hearts of the fathers unto the next generation. We read that in the New Testament. He was saying, come back to the word of God. Come back to God, Israel. Come back. Jesus is coming very, very soon. Let's go back to John in chapter 1. John and chapter 1. I got a pretty simple outline. I'm going to pick up with verse 15. I'm going to try to make this as crystal clear and as short as I possibly can. John the Baptist was that reed shaking in the wind. He was nothing more, his own words, than a voice in the wilderness. There was nothing fancy about John the Baptist, yet he was outstanding. He was powerful. He was a no-holds-barred, plain-speaking preacher. And he was a man of God who called sin, sin. I've known a lot of what I know to be men of God. Some are already in heaven. Some are still serving God today. I miss the old timers. I miss the last generation. Amen. Man, I leaned on them. And now I find that we're next up. And I recognize we need more of the breed of John the Baptist in the pulpits and throughout the congregations and the people that have gathered together. We need people calling back people to God. I've known some eloquent men. I've known some graceful men. I've known some men that were bull, like a bull in a china shop. I've known men of God that had white hair. Some had no hair. Some had very little hair. Some had comb overs, but they were men of God. Let me say this again. Never trust a preacher that gets a perm. That's important that you remember that, all right? If they're phony there, they're probably phony other places as well. I know preachers that are short. I know preachers that are tall. I know preachers that are average, big, small, skinny, squeaky voice, low voice, a booming voice, all kinds of personalities, but called of God and anointed of God, and they stand in pulpits and they proclaim the word of God. We need more John the Baptist. Hey, this message today is as much for me as it is for anybody else in the auditorium here this morning. Look what it says here in verse 15. John the Baptist, a Baptist preacher. Let me say something about that in a moment. John bare witness of him, verse 15, and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me, and of his fullness have all we received grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Amen to that. "And no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. This is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who art thou?' And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then? Art thou Elias?' And he saith, 'I am not.' 'Art thou that prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' Then said they unto him, 'Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?' And he said, 'I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah.'" John was all about Jesus, not himself. I like the title, The Baptizer. John the Baptist. John was a Baptist preacher. Now, I want to identify that. I want you to understand. Not a denominational preacher. We are independent Baptists here at Fundamental Baptist Church. There is no hierarchy. There's no state headquarters. There's no national headquarters. We are a New Testament local church. And I believe in the autonomy of the New Testament local church. It's taught throughout the Word of God. We have sister churches. You say, "Well, what's this Baptist thing?" That is identification. John the Baptist did not come to start a denomination. It's not like he was the first of a Baptist denomination. That's not who he was. It wasn't about him. He said, "There's one coming after me whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose." John said, you misunderstand. I'm just a voice. I'm just a reed shaking in the wilderness. I have been called of God to make straight the paths, to call Israel back to Jehovah God, and to tell Israel the Messiah is about to come." And he did. And his name is Jesus. Amen. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was, I believe, the first great independent Baptist pastor. And his mom said, "Charles, I prayed that you'd get saved, and I prayed that you would become a preacher, but I think she was Pilgrim Methodist or Congregational, it was one of those two, I can't remember, but John, I never prayed for you to become a Baptist preacher." And Charles Spurgeon, with his wit always on edge, he said, "Mom, that is just like the character of God to give you above and beyond whatsoever we should ask." You know? Say, "Preacher, what would you be if you were a Baptist?" "I'd be ashamed." I heard an old man say that, and I've never forgotten that. That's actually good. But here's I do want you to know this. All the misgivings that are out there, people that don't understand, and maybe you're watching for the very first time, we are not building an earthly empire. We are not building a denomination. That is not what this church is about. This church is, we're not building a resort. We're not building a park. We're trying to build the family of God. And in turn, Jesus said, "I will build my church." John the Baptist was that Baptist preacher, and he was baptizing. You say, "Well, what do you mean, Baptist preacher?" Let me say it like this. I thought about this week, and this is pretty eloquent. I'm sure I probably didn't say it. I'm probably not the first one to say it, but I thought, man, that's good. And I wrote that down. I should look at my notes right now to make sure I get it right. But here it is. I am not a Biblicist because I'm a Baptist. I am a Baptist because I am a Biblicist. It's about being an old-time, fundamentalists, Bible fundamentalists. Therefore, I recognize, man, I want to be a Baptist. I want to identify with the Baptist people. I don't for a moment think only Baptists are going to heaven. We know that's not true. Say amen so everybody on the internet will hear that. All right? We know that's not true. It isn't just going to be Baptists in heaven. I recognize that. But I do believe in the day and age in which we're living, and we're not the only ones serving God. I know that we're not the only, the Baptists aren't the only ones. There's many Baptists not serving God. There's over 50 different kinds of Baptists, and most of them are God deniers, are Christ deniers. So I'm not saying that at all. But I do know this. The majority of the red-hot people serving God are those Baptist churches that we can identify with. There are others doing it, that are denominational maybe, and their little pockets and IFCA churches. I recognize that. I praise God for every single one of them. But I'm a Baptist by identification. John the Baptist was bringing people to Jesus. He said, what about this baptism thing that he was doing? Let's read about it. Verse 24 of chapter 1 of the Gospel of John. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? And John answered them, saying, I baptize with water. It's just water, fellas. It's the Jordan River. It doesn't wash away sin. You understand, and you watch the words carefully that I'm going to read. Baptism is not salvation. Baptism is identification. It's identifying with Jesus. I thank God for everybody that's getting born again. I want to see them get baptized because I want them to grow in Christ. I want them to be obedient. I want them to not be ashamed and identify with Jesus Christ. But baptism is not salvation. He said, fellas, baptism, this is just water. I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He's close. He's speaking of Jesus. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. And it goes on, he says, now listen, he is going to I baptize with water. Another passage of scripture, he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. He's going to baptize you with fire. That's going to be the real McCoy. Baptism is just a picture. Go to Romans and chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, if you would. Very quickly, I'm going to read. And I know I'm going to read some things that you've read before, but you probably have never really ever put it together. Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? He's talking about Holy Spirit baptism. He's not talking about water baptism. That's not there, all right? He's talking about being born into the family of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like, might underline that, as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the, underline it, likeness of his death, we shall be also in the, underline it, likeness of his resurrection. It goes on, talks about reckoning the old flesh, the crucified man. When we baptize somebody up here in the tank and we put them down underneath the water, buried in the likeness of his death, Romans chapter 6, put them under the water, picture of death, burial, raised to walk in newness of life, picture of the resurrected life. That New Testament born-again believer saying, I, by way of baptism, identify with Jesus and his gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. I'm not ashamed. I belong to him. And you identify. And what Paul is saying to the believers here in Rome, he's saying, listen, you remember getting baptized? Man, you got to get your life together. We need to walk in newness of life. We need to reckon the flesh dead and yield not our members as instruments of unrighteousness. Baptism does not save. It's a beautiful event. The Lord's table is a beautiful event, second only to the born-again experience. They both picture the born-again experience. John the Baptist, he was out there immersing people. Can you picture the crowds coming from all Judea? Rich and poor, coming and wading down into the River Jordan and waiting their turn for John the Baptist to baptize them. They're identifying. That's all they were doing. They weren't saved. It's just a picture. It's still Old Testament in all reality. And by the way, there are other baptisms in the Old Testament as well. But he's saying, I'm believing in this Jesus that's going to come. When he comes, man, I'm turning to him. They were just identifying. He was making the people's hearts ready. It was a Baptist preacher. He was baptizing. Look at verse 29. He was a Bible thumper. Verse 29. Go back to John in chapter 1. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Verse 36, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. Again, John the Baptist was all about Jesus. It was Charles Spurgeon that said, Sir, no Christ in your sermon? Then sit down and shut up. As a child of God, we need to make our lives need to be all about Jesus. So here's John the Baptist, last of the Old Testament prophets. He's down here baptizing people. Jesus is coming to get baptized, not because he had sin, not because, and they certainly didn't wash away any sin. We've already covered that, but it behooved him to fulfill the law. So he was going to do that. But here he is baptizing, here he's baptized. He looks up and there's Jesus. And he says to everybody listening, Look, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He said, there he is. This is Jesus. Said, you got to baptize me, John. John said, oh no, Jesus, I need to be baptized by you. Jesus said, no, listen, we've got to fulfill prophecy. You've got to baptize me. Jesus gets baptized. The Holy Spirit comes. The voice from above says, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him, man in whom I am well pleased. John the Baptist, just an old time Bible thumping Baptist preacher who preaches the word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15, don't have time to look at it. We're to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. Write this reference down, Isaiah 28 and verse 10. That's where the preacher gets that line all the time where he says, line upon line and precept upon precept. We hold to the word of God. Preach the whole counsel of God, Acts chapter 20 and verse 27. And in everything, we exalt Jesus Christ. That's exactly what John the Baptist did. Read verses 29 through 37. He was a Bible thumper. By the way, when someone calls me a Bible thumper, it is a badge of honor. I love it, man. Man, you're at work and somebody calls you a deacon because you take a stand for God. Wear that as a badge of honor. Do not be ashamed to identify with Jesus, the one who saved you and has given you eternal life. Don't let your face turn red when you mention the name of Jesus. Man, just somehow, some way, it's got to be just like John the Baptist. And again, I want to say it, we need more of his breed. We do. The big reason our country is in such a moral mess is because churches no longer sound forth the word of God. Just tell people how to live better, maybe how to treat their neighbor. Man, the Muslim can preach that message. Yeah, but leave out the blood atonement and leave out the salvation of souls and change lives. Mark chapter 6, let's go to the last passage. Mark and chapter 6, John the Baptist was not real popular with the religious crowd. A preacher told me, you want to be popular? Be an ice cream salesman. You want to stand for the truth? Then maybe you can be a preacher of the word of God. It says here in Mark in chapter 6, let me read the story, verse 17. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John. By the way, we're going to read about John's beheading after the fact, and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. Herod was living in an adulterous situation. He's an unsaved man. He's living in mockery to God, against God. And John had said unto Herod, because he was a preacher man, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias, this is the woman, had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. Some of the meanest people in this world are women. That's just a fact. Man, Amber, you're not mean, are you? Okay, all right, good. Verse 20 says, For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and holy. But obviously he feared Herodias even more. And observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee, the elite. And when the daughter of the said Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod, unsaved people, and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he swear unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom. He said, little girl, I'll give you up to half of everything I own. You please me that much. And she went forth and said unto her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. I want that preacher man out of the way. I want that voice in the wilderness, that voice that's calling Israel back to righteousness and preparing the way. The devil wants him gone. Verse 25, and she came in straightway with haste unto the king and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. I want it in a basket. And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake and for their sakes which sat with him. And he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head be brought. And he went and beheaded him in prison and brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. That's morbid. And when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb. The headless corpse laid in a tomb. But John the Baptist was a fearless man of God. Amen. We've already had to shut down registrations for senior week. We shut it down, I think, almost 2 weeks in advance, because we don't have another bed. We don't have another building. There's no way we can squeeze anybody else in. We've got 86 teenage boys pre-registered. 86. That's not the girls. That's just the guys. 86. Pastor Hansen texts, praise God, some of those guys are future preachers, amen, deacons, soul winners, leaders in the church. We need more men of God in America and in the family of God. John the Baptist was fearless. He was like the Apostle Paul. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let me just read the verse. 2 Timothy and chapter 4. Paul speaks of the time of his departure. Verse 6 says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He's about to be beheaded, just like John the Baptist was. He knows the time has come. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. By the way, again, here's another man who did not compromise. Here's another man, a New Testament Christian, saved by grace, a leader in the Church of Jesus Christ, the apostle born out of due time. He would not compromise. Take my head from my body. I'll still identify with Jesus Christ. He says, the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Paul lived for eternity, not the now. John the Baptist lived with heaven in view, not the now. Lord willing, we'll never have to be martyred. But I tried to put myself in John the Baptist's place in preparation for this message. Say goodbye to my wife. Say goodbye to my children. What about my grandchildren? There's more I want to do in leadership for in their lives. Say goodbye to the family of God right here at Fundamental. But live with eternity in view. Not the present. Not the things of this present world. But the things of God. The things of eternity. We need some more of that breed. We need some John the Baptist in America today. It can't be just a handful of churches. Man, it's got to be people standing up and getting right with God. It's people in the church pews coming to the altar and getting right with God. It's people, like I preached last Sunday, falling in love with Jesus the way we ought to love him and giving Christ the preeminence in our lives. Listen, don't get entangled with the affairs of this life. Hey, fella. Hey, lady, don't do that. Don't drive your roots down in this earth, because that's a fool's errand. Serve God. Whatever God puts on your plate right now, serve God. Whatever's going on in your life right now, surrender it to God and serve God.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbc.org. www.fundingforchristonline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.